You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. I've told you guys this before, but I think we're going to break an all-time record. I know we're going to break our own record, but I can't imagine at any other show in 60 minutes, which is really like 47, 48 minutes, we'll talk about as many topics and as many games and give you as many picks as this show will today. Dave Malinsky will join us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mike Cardano joins us. Fantasy Sports Network's very own. Chris Meany will join me in a studio. We're hitting everything on the program today. We're talking baseball. We're talking football. We're talking NFL football. We're talking college football. We're talking World Cup of Hockey. It's the World Cup of Hockey finals. They dropped the puck tonight. It's Team Europe. It really is the final countdown for Team Europe because it's the end of the road, as Boyz II Men once so eloquently sang. This is it. This is the end of the road. And that's what they should be listening to, Team Europe, because it's over. We'll give you some World Cup of hockey picks a little bit later on. NFL football, college football. We've got a monster game. Clemson and the Ville. Louisville right now, two and a half point favorites. Not often at Clemson. They'll be getting points on their home field. We'll break it down with the professor, Dave Malinsky. So we'll cut the monologue short this evening, since we have as many topics as we do on the plate. But I want to offer my condolences to Jose Fernandez, his friends, his family, his Miami Marlin teammates, and everybody who was affected by the passing of just a 24-year-old pitcher who's in a prime, not just of his life, but his career as well. Was set to make $500 million. Dude was going to be a free agent a couple of years. He was going to make like large amounts of money. All life is created equal, and whether you know you have $2 in your pocket or you got $200 million in your bank account, you know, a tragic young loss of life like this is just devastating. As somebody that's had a lot of loss in my life, you know, when I see these things, it actually it hits me hard as well. And you know, I didn't know Jose Fernandez, but to see somebody that loved life as much as he did have it taken away like he did is absolutely tragic. So, you know, the Marlins and the Braves are supposed to play on Sunday. They canceled the game. Rightfully so. But, you know, they have to play the games. And, you know, the Marlins and the Mets played last night, and it really couldn't get any more dramatic. And I really believe, and, you know, you can agree or disagree with me, but I think people got more emotional last night about Fernandez's passing after watching D. Gordon hit that home run. I think, you know, I know I had a tear in my eye. And, you know, I got to be honest. So when Fernandez passed away on Sunday, when I saw it Sunday morning, I was like, man, that really sucks. That really sucks. But the NFL's kicking off in an hour. And I've got a ton of money on the games. I can't get rattled and distracted. I was depressed when I saw that Fernandez passed away. You know, but I was like, man, I've been through, you know, I got to just sort of store this away right now. And, you know, it sort of hit last night. I think a lot of other people were the same way. Watching D. Gordon, the emotion of the Marlins, the emotion of the New York Mets, the emotion around Major League Baseball. As Jose Fernandez really represented the new school and the new guard of Major League Baseball. You remember Bryce Harper earlier in the year? You know, God forbid he upset people because, he borrowed Donald Trump's slogan instead of Make America Great Again. You know, he wore a hat and he got t-shirts, make baseball fun again. And, you know, that really upset the old guard. Baseball's already fun. Baseball's already great. This is an insult. And somehow Bryce Harper just upsets the old guard all the time. Yet Bryce Harper is correct in stating this is exactly why youth of today, they don't care who Yusiel Puig is. They watch Steph Curry get it done, man. They're watching the Golden State Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're not watching St. Louis Cardinal baseball games. Bryce Harper himself said, I'd rather watch an NFL game with Cam Newton or the Warriors than baseball. Jose Fernandez represented everything that Bryce Harper wants to be about the game. You have these, you know, crickety old dudes that are upset all the time talking about codes. There are no codes, all right? Was it part of the code when Babe Ruth pointed to the outfield before he hit a home run? Was that part of the code? out was a part of the code when one of the all-time most popular players of all time, Ozzie Smith, used to come out with the wicked-ass cool backflips. You imagine if a player, imagine if Yasiel Puig ran out to right field doing backflips all the way to right field. The LAPD would shoot him dead on the spot on the field. Hey, okay, whoa. Hey, we got a dancing Cuban over here. Hey, you know. Like, really, people would freak out. And, you know, I don't know who it was that wrote it. I want to give credit to you, but I don't know who it was because I didn't even read the story. But I saw it. If you want to honor Jose Fernandez, you know, make baseball fun. And you know, I didn't even read the story. I saw the headline, and I was thinking the same thing. I was like, you know, one thing I liked about Fernandez was the dude, he enjoyed life. And that's what it's all about. And not only baseball, but you watching this right now, me and all of us can learn something from Jose Fernandez. You know, life is a lot like the TV show Survivor. You know, we're all voted off the island at some point. The key is to win as many challenges as you can and enjoy the ride and probably try to hook up with one of the hot chicks that you're stuck on the island with. But ultimately, the ride doesn't last forever. As we see, whether you're on welfare or whether you're set to make a $500 million free agent baseball contract, we're all equal in God's eyes. So enjoy the ride while you're here and don't worry about the petty, stupid little things. Doesn't mean we're not going to get upset about Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing 6 interceptions, but when it's all said and done, they're all just games, man. They're all just games. Godspeed and God bless Jose Fernandez. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. A little bit different atmosphere right now. You know, like I said, I think a lot of people got more shooken up about Fernandez's passing after D. Gordon hit that home run last night. D. Gordon had to hit a home run all year. An amazing quote that gave me goosebumps after. D. Gordon told his teammates after he hit the home run, "If you don't believe in God, you better start now," which is a pretty powerful words. And, you know, I tweeted last night at about 6:30, 7 o'clock, man, I tweeted, I said, there's a weird feeling in the air tonight. And, you know, you had the debates. You had the debates going on. You had the emotional moments in Miami. There was all kinds of just sort of weird, you know, energy in the air last night. And, you know, it turned to be a pretty memorable Monday night. So let's get to a ton of all this stuff, including actually Dave Malinsky's quick take on the debates last night, as there has been a market move after the debates. The odds makers have declared Hillary the winner of the debate, a 50 to 70 cent line movement. But first things first, Dave's a historian, big baseball fan, music fan as well. So I look forward to his perspective on this. Dave, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
Boy, it's a different opening coming in today. I'm used to you tearing apart the world. And sometimes we need that. It's cathartic for us, but a very nice handling of the Fernandez situation. Just something that's going to impact so many people because, you know, you and I well know sports is made up of a lot of guys you would not want to be sitting next to in a bar stool. Fernandez isn't one of them. He was a genuinely good guy.
Yeah, that was the theme of my opening, that, you know, somebody that enjoyed life. And, you know, the thought is, if you really want to honor him, you know, let baseball players have fun. And I brought it up off the top. You know, look at Ozzie Smith, Dave. You know, one of the most popular players of all time. Somebody, you know, what do you think of when you think of Ozzie Smith? Yeah, he was a great defender. He was a Gold Glove shortstop. But you think of the joy that he had and him doing the backflips. Imagine now if Yasiel Puig did a bunch of backflips on his way to right field. You know, they'd want to kill him. Like, say he can't do this. This isn't a circus. And, you know, Fernandez rubs some people the wrong way at times. But, you know, I stand with Harper and Puig and Jose Fernandez and these new guys that actually, you know, we're trying to make baseball fun, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think here's what people need to understand about Fernandez and about the reaction of his teammates. It's the same reaction as if he had been 5-12 with a 5.22 earned run average. This reaction wasn't because he was very, very good as a pitcher, because they just really liked him. He was a team leader. He was so important in the clubhouse. So many people think that the sadness is because of his special abilities. Now the sadness is really for the person that he was.
Yeah, and Dave, you know, I was thinking, I can't recall an athlete as good. And, you know, maybe in the 50s and the 40s, et cetera, this happened, but I'm thinking off the top of my head, I can't think of an athlete as good that was taken from us in his prime like this. Len Bias comes to mind. But Len Bias, you know, didn't play yet. You know, Reggie Lewis, you know, there have been tragic losses. Pelly Lindbergh, Philadelphia Flyers goalie. You know, we can go on, you know, with the Flyers goalies actually. It's like a curse there. But not like Fernandez that it was as good as he was. Steve McNair was a great quarterback, but it wasn't in his prime of his life and his career when he got taken.
Yeah, Len Bias had a chance to be that kind of player. In fact, giving his time coming into the league and where the NBA was with small forwards at the time, boy, he had a chance to really, really be a monster. But again, we're only talking about Bias, the player. We didn't get a chance to know Bias, the person.
How about Hank Gathers as well? And, you know, last night, Dave, seeing D. Gordon hit the home run after, and the guy hasn't hit a home run all year, seeing him hit the home run after, I immediately thought of Bo Kimble hitting the free throws, and I was not at the game. It's crazy because I'm a Michigan fan, and I was living in L.A., but I couldn't be there by chance when the tournament was going on, so I was not at that Loyola Marymount game against the defending Michigan Wolverine, the defending champion Wolverines. It was played at Long Beach at the Pyramid. I wasn't at that game, but I was there, Dave, when Bo Kimble hit the free throw in his first NBA game. It was the Clippers drafted him, and I was there. Sacramento Kings, L.A. Clippers season opener many years ago. Sort of reminded me like that. And even like musicians, somebody, and you're a big music guy, somebody sent me a tweet comparing him to like Stevie Ray Vaughan. And we've lost a lot of artists, but, you know, Michael Jackson wasn't in his prime. You know, Prince, still great, but wasn't in his prime. You know, Kurt Cobain, but Kurt Cobain took his own life, so it's not quite as tragic. It's really uncomparable to anything, Dave.
There is one, but now this goes back a ways, and this will date me a little bit, Jimi Hendrix.
I was thinking the same thing, actually. I actually thought of the same thing.
Hendrix may have, as creative and as talented as he was probably just scratching the surface.
You're right, I know.
When we lost him.
How old was he, Dave? How old was he, like 27, 28 when he died?
Yeah. Imagine Hendrix now in his 70s, a sort of a buddy guy type. Imagine what he could have done.
Yeah.
But that's what life at least allows the living to do. We can take people like Hendrix with us and keep them with us. That's what we love about the special ones.
Yeah, all right. Well said, Dave. So quickly, you know, we go from legends and excluded class to the debate right now. Market change after immediately following debate last night. Hillary Clinton went from like minus 170 to minus 250 in some spots, from 200 to minus 275. The odds makers clearly believe that Hillary won the debate last night.
Yeah, this is the odds makers and also some money showing up before the polls even get out there. Just inexcusable on the part of Donald Trump for how ill-prepared he was. I mean, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. You've got a chance to be the president. You know some of the questions that are coming. You know some of the topics that are coming. It is inexcusable to not be prepared for them, and he just simply wasn't prepared.
Dave, he spent the day prepping with Bobby Knight. Were you prepping to play Purdue, or are you prepping for a presidential debate?
The very fact that the name Rosie O'Donnell came up at all is just staggering. But again, that's who he is when he's under the limelight. People tend to like Trump when they don't see him. You know, they didn't. After the Republican convention, the odds got the worst against him they ever were. Then people didn't see him for a little while. Now they see him front and center again. You'll see those odds shift. No surprise if by the end of the week, maybe Clinton's 350.
Yeah, she's got a real bounce to her step this morning, too. I haven't seen her so energetic in years, actually. She she couldn't be any happier. And you're right about Trump. He started out strong for the first 3-4 minutes. He tried to act presidential. And I could tell, Dave, because I'm a very impatient person. And I don't like listening to people either. So I could tell. You know, I tweeted this, Dave, last night. If you're Donald Trump, how long do you really ever listen to somebody else talk for? Like, really? Maybe 2 minutes, a minute? You know, like, you know, Trump's just cutting people off and everyone sort of talks to him quickly. And secondly, you know, Trump is sort of a all over the place type of guy, Dave. I doubt that Trump ever sits in one spot for 90 minutes very often. And I could tell, man, he was starting to panic about this about 4 minutes in. And then, you know, by the 16-minute mark, Dave, it was the 16-minute mark where he started to become Trump. Like, if you just watch the first 10 minutes of the debate, you're like, hey, Trump was pretty, you know, he was all right. But then if you stuck around from 16 to the 90th minute, and then by the 60th minute, you're like, this guy's the biggest a-hole in the world.
Yeah, there's a number. I don't want to quote this as a sports statistic because I can't verify it, but a news report out this morning, he spoke 51 times when it was Hillary on the clock. Now, if you're in a junior high debate class, you get flunked out for that. If you're running for president of the school board at a small local high school, you get canned for that. This is someone running for president, and he couldn't even stay quiet when it was Hillary's turn to speak. There's just no excuse for that. You just stand there, look presidential, take your turn. He couldn't do it.
Yeah, Dave, I saw the same thing. He spoke 51 times. He actually cut Hillary off 26 times. He cut Holt off like 9 times and talked over Holt. Excuse me. Like I said, like, he just went into, you know, the facts say that I'm right. It's almost comical if he isn't running for president, as you stated. Like I said, he was like an angry contestant on Celebrity Jeopardy or something. But nevertheless, all right, Dave, man, we had a ton of stuff to get to. So let's go sort of quick on this subject to subject here. Les Miles is out. Cam Cameron's out. You know, every time they lost a game, they were getting ripped. So I guess it's almost like a couple that's been arguing forever. Sometimes it's better, all right, let's just separate and get this over with. It seems like it's best for everybody involved here.
Well, it's great for Les Miles. And I mean, one of the things people should think of, I think, oh, it's a shame. He had a good record. He got fired. His buyout is $12.9 million. Now, that's minus what he's been paid in salary so far this year, which I think is a little over $2 million. He's going to get a check for over $10 million. Now, if somebody wants to fire me tomorrow, if you guys want to fire me from this Tuesday spot, and you want to send me a check for $10 million, in fact, don't send me the check for $10 million. I'll come and pick it up. I'll save you the postage. I'll be in Toronto tomorrow lunchtime at the latest. So, no, given the buyout that he had, it's one thing, you know, when people get fired and they don't have the backup, you're going to get a check for over $10 million, you're good to go. But let's watch the Tom Herman watch real closely here, because the one thing that everybody at LSU will do over and over again is watch the Ohio State-Alabama playoff game film from 2 years ago. Tom Herman was the coordinator of that Ohio State offense. Look for him to be in Baton Rouge next year.
Very, very interesting. Houston actually got UConn, the only team to beat them last year this week. Quickly on this, Dave, because I want to ask you about Louisville and the Clemson game. But you know, you think Houston will be out for blood, or they got bigger things to worry about, or do you think they really will want to beat these guys like 60-6?
I think it's 60-6 because this is ESPN on a Thursday night, and you want to be in the playoffs. So how many national TV chances are you going to get where you know the world is watching? If I'm Tom Herman, I think about 60-6 because Herman has won a championship. He knows what the rules of the game are. He knows that Houston is still slightly on the outside looking in, but if you can look pretty in front of the voters, you do it.
Best case scenario for the Houston Cougars is Louisville beat Clemson on Saturday because they get Louisville later down the road. That could bump them right in to the playoff picture. So what's your take on this, Dave, Louisville and Clemson? One thing in watching Clemson that's impressed me the most is this defense. You know, the offense is a little bit staggered. They really haven't exploded yet. But the defense clearly is an elite defense with a ton of speed. You know, they close the gaps in the lanes incredibly fast. This is the best defense that that Louisville will have faced this year. I'm leaning Clemson right now, Dave. You're getting points with Clemson on their home field. And I think this is a, you know, this is a tougher test than FSU going into Louisville. What's your take?
It's hard to ever pass up a program as good as Clemson getting points at home. And also keep in mind that what makes Lamar Jackson so special is you just can't emulate him in practice, which makes it real hard for opponents. Well, Clemson could do that because these kids see Deshaun Watson every day. So they see a similar style quarterback. I think they'll be ready.
And, David, finally, in closing, it's amazing. Ed Oregon takes over for Les Miles, just like he did at USC. Talking about programs in a state of flux, how long before Helton gets the boot there, Dave? You know, maybe they should have just left Oregon as the guy. There's a novel concept. What was he, 6-2? And now, you know, Oregon's the king of taking over these high-profile programs, Dave. So LSU, do they explode this week against Mizzou? Mizzou haven't been terrible.
Might, because Big Ed, as we like to call him, he's been the prime recruiter for the program. The players love him. And the players loved him out at USC. The reason he didn't get that job, Ed is a gruff-speaking Southern guy. He's an offensive lineman. He didn't fit the L.A. image. Don't be surprised if maybe Les Miles ends up out there. I think the LSU kids will play hard. They still have one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. And Steve Ensminger, being promoted to offensive coordinator, he might be better than Cam Cameron. So I wouldn't think that LSU skips a beat. In fact, they may play better this week without Miles than if he had been there.
Yeah, we saw the Buffalo Bill offense explode when they simplified things without a fancy offensive coordinator. We got to get out of here. Read Dave's work over at pregame.com, point blank, right on the front page. It's a great, great column every day, Dave. Great work. Thanks for the time.
Good luck, everybody.
Dave Malinsky, when it's Mike Cardano joins me next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, we got a ton of stuff to get to with Mike Cardano right now. Let's bring in Mike, Roto Expert, Fantasy Sports Network, Sirius XM, Out of Bounds. Mike, you're out of bounds. What's going on, Mike?
I am. It's not easy being me.
You're speaking to someone that should be the title of my book. Not easy being me. All right, Mike. So, yeah, it's not easy being you, actually. I'll agree with that because you're a New York Jet fan. I told you, Ryan Fitzpatrick sucks, all right? The guy's terrible. And how about this? Ryan Fitzpatrick's so bad that Ryan Fitzpatrick's turned the ball over more than Dak Prescott, Trevor Siemian, Carson Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett, and Cody Kessler combined. Combined!
Well, go ahead and rub it in, why not? You know, it's not easy being green. You know, Kermit the Frog used to say it. Now I'm saying it. So listen, you know what? It's pretty interesting. None of his receivers were open on any of those plays, but he decided to throw the ball anyway. I don't get it. You know, he's got that big head. He looks like Gazoo. He's got his Harvard education.
He looks like an idiot. And I can't believe I sound like George Steinbrenner, but I swear to God, man, like, I would tell him, dude, if you don't shave that beard, I'm cutting you. Like, I don't care what the players' union says. Like, it used to drive me crazy, man, when he was a Buffalo Bill. He's walking off the field with that dumb beard. He never cares because he just fleeces you guys for the money. Like, he's horrible. You're stuck with him. He sucks.
It was $500,000 per interception right there. He's got some ingrown hairs going into his brain, I think. The receivers were not open. I don't know where he was throwing the ball to. It was crazy.
Yeah,
These young receivers, quarterbacks that you spoke about, there's something different going on here about the way they bring these guys up, because they are poised. They're not throwing. They're tucking the ball, either taking a sack or throwing it away or running with it. and they're not throwing interceptions, which to me is the most mind-boggling thing, that they're not turning the ball over.
I know, you look at Drew Brees. Drew Brees, a couple of interceptions on routine out patterns that absolutely kills the New Orleans Saints. And as you stated, Carson Wentz just so effective. Now, it's only three games in to his career, but people around him and Coach Doug Peterson, who was a quarterback in the NFL, and Peterson's the early coach of the year candidate right now, but he actually said that Carson Wentz is as smart as Peyton Manning. He said, like, it's unbelievable. Like, the guy sees everything a step ahead. That's why, you know, that's why he's been as good as he is.
I think people look down upon him because he likes to duck hunt and he doesn't come from a metropolitan area. How about guys like Carson Palmer? He threw four picks. Nobody's talking about him because
he's terrible. I'm talking about him. Carson Palmer's done, man. You know, he's done. Arizona's in a lot of trouble. Like, I'm not buying what Carson Palmer's selling, Mike.
The playoff game did him in. That was it.
He was done years ago, but he got a second wind on this team, and Arians coached him up. But it seems like he can't coach him up anymore. They better think about getting a quarterback for the future there. Like, I wouldn't want Carson Palmer to be my quarterback if I was Arizona next year. Or if he is, that's the last year that he is. But Arizona have some problems. It's amazing, though. Before we move on, Mike, first-time quarterbacks, and I came up with this on my own. I didn't read this from anywhere. I started this like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, man, all these guys are winning all the time. How about this, man? They're 10-1 straight up. So rookie quarterbacks, or a quarterback that, Simeon isn't a rookie. He was on the roster last year. But guys that have never started an NFL game before are 10-1, with the only loss being the Giants-Cowboys game. And if you bet on that game was a push. So they're 10-0-1 against the spread. That goes against everything we've ever known, Mike. Oh, you got a rookie quarterback on the road for the first time. Yeah, they're 10-0-1.
That's unprecedented. Unprecedented. Listen, at the moment, the way they're playing and ball control, they're not getting themselves into tough situations. I expect it to continue. I don't see any reason it's going to change. They're taking care of the ball.
You know what? I talked about this earlier. The Buffalo Bills, they said they were going to simplify things, and I'm thinking, how much dumber can we be, guys? But I like what they did. They put LeSean McCoy in a wildcat. You know what I mean? They basically handed the ball off to McCoy, 18 times. All right, we're going to give it to you 7 times in a row here. And then they just do a quick hit. Roman's playbook was too complicated. I think we see it with a lot of these quarterbacks. Don't overcomplicate things. Football's not rocket science. You can be effective. All right, one thing that's upsetting me about the NFL, a lot of things are upsetting me about the NFL this year, Mike, and I got to talk fast with a lot of topics, but is the refereeing. And I look at Odell Beckham, he's got the attitude of an NBA player. And, the NFL sort of morphing into the NBA in the sense that now star players are getting calls. And, they're ticky-tack penalties all the time. Ooh, it's about offense, and it drives me crazy. Aaron Rodgers, the king of this, man. They were up by 7 the other day. Detroit comes all the way back. There's like 3 minutes left. It's 3rd and 12 or something. Green Bay's got the ball on their own 12-yard line. Aaron Rodgers scrambles, picks up the first down. And all the announcers, Aaron Rodgers, the greatest ever. It was blatant holding, man. Like, the Packers tackled the Lions. They don't call it. Yet, you got Cam Newton, who's getting beat like a Donald Trump pinata at a Cinco de Mayo picnic in East L.A., and then they don't call anything, right? It's okay. Let's just let Cam Newton get stepped on when he's down. Like, teams know this. Hey, we can beat up Cam Newton. The league doesn't do anything about it.
I'm trying to figure this out. He took a beating in week one. Last week, he got sacked 8 times, and I don't know if it's because of his size, that he's a huge man, or his athletic prowess, the way he moves and runs around, but he just not getting any calls. Listen, he was did not receive a roughing the passer penalty on against him all of 2015. Nothing.
That's insane.
He's not getting anything this year either.
You're telling me he didn't get roughed up once all year? Like you said, it's almost like it's a free run on Cam. And I had the Vikings, so I had money on the Vikings, but I watched that game, and there were times, Mike, the Viking players like tackled him by the the head and stuff. they went after him hard, and nothing.
Hey, Gabe, if you Google it and research it, there was an account last year that he reported, Cam Newton reported, Ed Hockley told him, "You're not getting that call. You're not old enough."
Yeah, Ed Hockley's an idiot.
And you know, you can see on the video the exchange that they had. Ed Hockley says he didn't say that. He won't say what he did say, which leads me to believe that's what he said. So I don't know what it is. You can't say it's racist. There's many black quarterbacks in the league. So I don't know what it is. I'm trying to figure it out, if it's the way he plays or his stature. But he's just getting crushed.
Yeah, you know, like you said, I don't think it's pure racism. I think there's a little racism there.
Do you?
Yeah, I think you know, you look at Tom Brady, you look at Aaron Rodgers, you could say, well, they're great. You know, Aaron Rodgers, maybe I'm just upset. I don't like Aaron Rodgers. Maybe it just bothers me. I got nothing against Aaron Rodgers, actually. I just don't like the treatment that he gets from the league. I think there's, with the perception of Cam Newton, I mean, you can't say that, you know, people haven't been racist.
Yeah, but he's the league MVP.
He doesn't
get the benefit of it that.
I know, but how about this? I mean, look, when he scores a touchdown, I saw earlier this year the referee raced and, like, ripped the ball out of his hand, yet they let Rob Gronkowski try to spike it to hell through the earth.
Yeah, well, you discount, double check. That goes on. It's allowed to happen.
Yeah. Discount, double check. He gets a TV endorsement. Cam Newton gives balls to kids. He gets hate mail. KKK wants to burn a cross on his lawn.
I'm starting to think it's the way they don't like the hats he wears in the post-game press conference.
Well, you know what? I'll agree with that. His hats suck. God, man, the guy's dressing like Urkel. Like I said, I hate this crap. How about you wear a suit or a tracksuit? Very simple.
Well,
you
want
to wear a suit, wear a suit. If not, wear a Carolina Panther tracksuit. You know, it is ridiculous, man. Like I said, these guys, it's like NBA. It's like a damn fashion show now. Well, they all look like Urkel.
He's endorsed by L'Oreal. So they're trying to get into this men's line of clothing. So there you go.
He's endorsed by L'Oreal?
Yeah.
Don't tell me that. I like Cam Newton. Like, really? Like, what's next? Is it a Noxzema deal? He's going to do one of those Dove? Why don't you do one of those commercials? Hi, I'm Mike Cardano, and I'm comfortable in my skin. I use Dove.
Somehow, I don't think L'Oreal wants me endorsing them. I don't know.
All right. No one wants to endorse the Dolphins either. Dolphins-Bengals Thursday night. What do you think?
Gabe, I'm just looking for an overall on both sides sloppy game, and it's for that reason I'm taking the over. I think you're going to see defensive touchdowns. You're going to see fumbles. It's not that there's going to be a whole lot of offense. I think you're going to see general sloppiness, and you'll see some scores off of that.
You know, the Dolphins' offense is supposed to be this new look, high pace, no huddle, quick tempo offense, and they were doing it a bit in the preseason, completely stalled. Now the regular season's here.
Tannehill, he looks good for four or five plays in a row, and then he makes the mistake. He's just too inconsistent.
All right, so the wild card standings. We've got like 2 minutes to get out of here with some baseball. Three teams, two spots battling in the AL and the AL. Listen, I know you guys talked about Jose Fernandez. I did an intro about him earlier. The Mets got sucked in last night to the emotion, and it was an emotional night last night, but they've got to get back on track. Like, I would tell them, listen, guys, you know, we're all upset that Jose passed away, but we can't leave Miami losing these games because we got all emotional last night. Like, we got to get on track here. You know, us not making the playoffs ain't bringing Fernandez back.
Well, it's hit or miss with them. You know, they got swept by the Braves. So it's, they're really not that good. I mean, everybody else that they're fighting against, they can't win either.
So who gets in? The Giants? You think the Giants and the Cards get in and the Mets are out?
No, I think the Mets end up getting in. They're ahead one in the loss column right now. I think they get in just because of where they are. The Cardinals can't get out of their own way. But, you know, I'm kind of rooting for chaos, to be honest with you. I want to see a three-way tie because this three-way tie scenario is ridiculous with three teams. Team A has to play Team B. The winner of that, or the loser of that, gets to play Team C. So there's one team that's going to get two shots of moving on just because of the way they do this thing. And it has nothing to do with seeding. I don't know how. I think they flip a coin for A, B, and C,
so you're
which is crazy.
You're telling me there could potentially be two play-in games to get to the one wild card game.
If they have a three-way tie, they elect Team A plays Team B. The loser of that goes on the road and plays Team C. So you could lose the first game and then have a second shot and go and get a road game and play. And you could have a chance of having a first-round home game, lose that game, and still get a second shot.
I did the intro about how baseball should be fun and, you know, take Jose Fernandez's cue, make baseball fun, and I told the old guys to chill out. Now I'm going to sound like an old guy here. I'm not down with the second wild card, all right? I didn't even need a wild card in the first place. Now, you know, we got two wild cards. Now, why don't we just have 16 play-in games? You know what, the Yankees, you guys would have made it. If you're on Sanchez, you're good. So we'll have a play-in series here. Come on, man. I hate this play-in. Like, remember the old days? Remember the Dodgers and the Astros? Remember, it was special, man. 162 games, and oh, they're tied. It's a play-in game. Now it's like, oh, this wild. You know, they're in third place, but they're playing a play-in game to get into a play-in game of a play-in game, and then they charge you for playoff tickets. It's one game. Teams say, oh, we made the playoffs, and they hang their stupid little banners up, those little, like, presidential red, white, and blue playoff banners, and oh, yeah, we saw our team lose on a Monday in a wild card playoff game. You're not even in the playoffs. Should we call, like, the junior playoffs or something?
Yeah, I don't know that anybody in the audience is old enough to remember, but bring back Sunday scheduled doubleheaders. How about that?
I used to love the doubleheaders in the old days before they kicked you out and charged you to come back in. Used to actually hang around at the park all day. We got to get out of here, Mike. Thanks.
All right, take care.
Mike Cardano with us. Chris Meade joins us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. As I stated off top of the program, we're trying to break records on the show today and get to as many topics as humanly possible. Me and Mike Cardano just talked about the baseball format. And,
it's a bit of a joke.
I'm kind of a hypocrite, but I do that. I always contradict myself. I'm like the Bible. I'm always, you know, so I opened up the show saying about how old guys should stop bitching about the way things used to be.
Yeah.
And now I'm the old guy sitting here. I don't like this new playoff format. How long did it take? 2 weeks? But you got a bunch of third place loser teams playing. Like, I don't want to wait 2 weeks for you guys so, like, one of you losers can move on.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, it's so tough to make the playoffs anyways in baseball, and then you get this potential three-way tie. A plays B, the loser plays C, the winner of that plays A again, and then by the time you get into the three to the five, I mean, your ace may not even be able to go because he's already pitched in that one play-on game. So yeah, it's not a great format, but I don't think they're ever going to change the length of the season, that's what would help it.
No, what they'll probably do is just put more teams in the playoffs, actually, in the future.
I think that there actually should be. I mean, forget this, like, wild card. I think the top two teams in each division perhaps makes the playoffs, and then you kind of have it like football, where you have six on each side. So I don't know. That's what I would rather see than, I know the play-in game is really exciting, but it's extremely tough to make the playoffs
I think it can be tinkered with as well, where you could also argue that if you're a team that wins 107 games, if you're the Cubs, you deserve some time off.
You get a bye?
You get a bye.
You get a bye.
You know what I mean? The two teams, the best records, sort of like football.
Yeah.
You guys get to set your rotation. That's the reward.
I can get behind
for
that.
Playing hard for 162 games. And then the wild card games, listen, I don't hate it. It's going to be crazy. It'll be interesting, all the playing games.
Yeah.
But playing one game, the wild card, making the playoffs in one game is ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, making the best two or three.
Yeah, I agree.
But the problem is that you can't have the World Series mid-November and stuff.
That's the one thing. That's why I don't think that they'll ever have more playoff teams or lengthen that first series to a 4-7 as opposed to 3-5. I mean, I don't like the 3-5 either. It just doesn't seem right to me. I mean, the Cubs are so stacked that, I mean, you're going to get Arrieta's game-free pitcher. I mean, if they sweep, I mean, you're not even getting into the deep part of the rotation, team's rotation. The team's best 4 and 5. I know sometimes that 5 pitcher never really pitches. He pitches out of the pen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would tinker with a little bit. But.
Dodgers pitching is going to be lethal in the playoffs as well. well. All right, so let's talk about the World Cup of Hockey, Chris. Game one of the finals. Team Europe gets dealt a devastating blow. Gaborik is out.
Yeah, it's tough news for them. He was playing on the top line. He's been pretty productive with Kopitar on that line, as well as Hossa, as you see there, 17 minutes per game. It's hard to fill that. Team Europe has, they have eight guys who have won Stanley Cups in this team. I mean, they're really experienced. So I think Tatar stepped in on that line towards the end. He was the guy who scored the game-winning goal. I expect him to kind of jump up with Hossa and Kopitar. And Zuccarello is in there as well, who's leading that team in points. So I just don't see how there's any chance here for Team Europe. And it's no disrespect to them. I mean, they've scored 10 goals in this tournament. And the one game that they played against Team Canada, it wasn't even really close. And Carey Price didn't even play a net for that game.
But yeah, so 10 goals in four games.
In four games.
So they're averaging 2.5 points. They're giving up, what, eight goals?
Yeah.
So they're giving up two. So look, Europe have to play a low-scoring game. Now, we see we got Yaroslav Halak here.
Former teammates.
And Carey Price. Yeah. Very interesting. I was actually in Montreal at the time, and I probably shouldn't admit this, but...
You thought Halak should
I was
Halak
like, this is ridiculous. Kept. They're running them out of town. What do you want? Yeah. I was, but nevertheless, they drafted Carey Price fifth overall in the draft. They had to play the guy eventually, but Halak went on this crazy playoff run, and they always do that in Montreal.
Yeah.
It's like the kiss of death. You play well in the playoffs as a goalie in Montreal, you're not going to be on the team in a year and a half. Like, we go down the list of players.
Oh,
like,
for sure. And if you remember, in that year was so special for Montreal. I mean, they came eighth. It was one of the biggest upsets in sports history. They knock off Washington. I think they were like 47, 48 points behind.
Wait, you're telling me that the Caps were a top seed?
They were
a shocker that the Caps lost in the top seed, Chris.
Yeah, no kidding.
We can just replay this every year. Remember, the Caps were number one seed. They got upset in the playoff. No, they didn't get upset. Don't tell you guys last year, the Capitals are like the Bills. They'll never win.
And it was Halak that stole the show, but it was Carey Price who also played in that series, one of the games in Montreal, and he played poorly, and then they went back to Halak.
Yeah,
50-plus saves in Game 5, 50-plus in Game 6, 50-plus in Game 7, and then they went on and they upset Pittsburgh Penguins.
So it was brought up
from Halak. So I thought that Halak should have been dealt. I was shocked that it was only for Lars Eller.
That was the problem.
People in Montreal
were
upset.
It's like Subban, where people are upset, but getting a player of Weber's quality softens the blow. Now, it's interesting. It was brought up. Unnamed people around the team said, is this like a one-on-one thing with Price and Halak?
Yeah.
And they basically said, yes. Yes, it is. To Halak, yes, it is. So, like, Halak got run out of town.
He did.
So he's thinking, you know what? Because, you know, the chances of him, the Islanders, and they can't play in the Cup.
Yeah.
This is it, right? And you brought up a good point about Team Europe before they played Sweden, stating that a lot of these guys, you know, they're playing for Latvia or whatever. They're not going to be able to beat Sweden because Sweden are such an international power. And we got a similar situation now with Canada, but I just don't think they have enough firepower. Yeah. Quick numbers for this. 25 is the key number here because the Team Canada are 25-1 to win the best two or three series. Tickets are $25 on StubHub right now for game one, starting as low as 25 and then going up. Canada, -900 favorites tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. They're -2.5 on the puck line. The total's 5.5. Now, they played earlier in the tournament. Crawford played. Canada won 4-1. I took Europe. It was a late goal, Chris, on a power play with like 2 minutes left and maybe lose the puck line. But now that it's the final, I think Canada, they don't screw around. They probably win 4 or 5-0.
Yeah, they don't screw around here. I mean, they got four lines. I mean, look at this. I mean, Marchand is tied for the team lead with Crosby on his line. Taves also has. I mean, Taves is technically on the third line here with Perry and Couture. It's unbelievable. Getzlaff and Tavares and Stamkos, to me, has been the best line by far on the ice. And we're not even mentioning this line here, what you see on the board, which has been unreal. And Crawford was in net, as you mentioned. He let in that soft goal from the corner. They probably would have been shut out in that game. I just don't see how there's any... I know, like, a lot of these guys, as you mentioned, and that was my thing with Sweden, is that game was within reach. I mean, you got Drysdale, some of these players that play for, like, Denmark and Germany, saying, we have no shot. We've never had a shot to beat Sweden. We've never been able to do that. I'm sure they're going to have the same kind of mentality in the dressing room today. Like, this is our only chance to combine together and be able to beat Team Canada, but it's just not fair. It's not fair, Gabe. I mean, Duchesne has been chipping in for goals, and he's on the fourth line with Thornton and O'Reilly. It's not fair. They're too good.
Yeah, and if you make one mistake, Canada just buries it. If you put one of your players in a penalty box, Canada's going to score immediately. watch out for the quick goals at the beginning of the periods too. When the ice is fast, because the players are especially fast, when the ice is really fast, the pace of the game is insane in the first 2 minutes of the period.
Crosby's won 23 straight games with Team Canada, and Price has never lost with Team Canada, dating back to World Juniors and Olympics.
And Carey Price, he stopped 92 of 97 shots.
Yeah, and in my opinion, I don't think he's looked all that good.
No.
I don't think he's looked himself.
But it's tough,
coming
Chris.
Off
you played hockey.
Injury.
You played hockey, so you know this. It's tough. And I was a goalie, so when your team,
forever.
Yeah, Canada's out shooting their opponents 42-19.
Yeah.
So it's, think of it in like football terms. If you're a DB and people are like, oh, you got torched for 200 yards in the air. Yeah, yeah, we were winning 38-0.
Exactly.
And, you know, I sort of got bored.
It's that garbage time. Yeah.
Yeah, so Carey Price, a hard time to stay alert. He'll be alert, but that's why Canada's so difficult. But the key is here, Chris, it's not all that entertaining to watch.
No.
Let's be honest.
It is.
You got all this talent, and they're playing not to lose because Babcock's developed this system that's basically unbeatable.
I know. There was a stretch in that Russia game about 4 or 5 minutes where it really opened up and it was back and forth, and it was really exciting, and it's like, oh, this is what we want to see. But yeah, I mean, Babcock plays that kind of style. I mean, can you blame him? It is what it is. He doesn't want to open up with these guys. I mean, Drew Doughty, we don't even talk about Drew Doughty. In my opinion, he's the best defenseman in the NHL. He's fantastic. He's just so poised in front of Price with the puck, and he's just unbelievable. It's so fun to watch, and we all wanted Team Canada and North America. That would have been really entertaining as well. Maybe that would have opened up a little bit. It would have been interesting to see how Babcock would have changed his style, because he did say that.
Scalpers. Listen, outside the Air Canada Center were hoping that.
We're hoping that too. And they asked Babcock before. He's like, I'm not going to talk about who we want. I have one game script for Team North America, and I have another one for Russia, because they're two very different teams. So it would have been interesting to see that happen. Maybe if they do this again in 2020, who knows?
So what's your prediction for tonight? Would you lay the 2.5, go over, yeah, under 5.5? What's your take?
Yeah, I would go over, yeah, the 2.5 for sure. And
I'm going under 5.5.
Yeah, that's tough to me. I see it as another like 4-1, 4-0 hockey game. I could get behind that under, but I do think 2.5 for sure. And if there's any props out there that they just sweep the 2-game series, I mean, take that. Like, I just don't see how teamy Herb.
Yeah, they're 25-1, so they're winning two.
It's not even really worth
1800.
It. Yeah, it's not worth it, but I'd be shocked if they lost the game.
All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks to Chris Meany. Watch him on Fantasy Sports Today. Game Time Decision continues. Right, it's time for our plays of the day. Let's start off with the World Cup of Hockey. Shocking that Team Canada's in the finals, isn't it? Team Canada, 25-1 favorites. 25-1 favorites. So essentially, if you bet $25 that Canada's going to win the series, you got $1 back. Canada minus 900 tonight on the money line. I'm going to lay the 2.5. These guys played earlier in the tournament. I gave you Europe plus the 2.5. And under 5.5. Canada won 4-1. It was a late goal, though. Late power play goal in about 2 minutes to give Canada the 3-puck win. I think Canada brings it tonight. I think Canada wins this game 4-0, 5-0. I think Team Europe are going to have a real hard time generating scoring opportunities against a really strong defensive team, Canada. We're going to lay the 2.5, and we're going to go under 5.5. Major League Baseball, speaking of unders, Baltimore Orioles are 9-0 to the under. These guys have been an under machine for like the last 2 months. They got a huge game, Baltimore to Jays tonight. Playoff implications. Give me under 8.5 in this baseball game. And a two-team money line parlay. Boston Red Sox. These guys are killing it, man. These guys have won, 11 in a row right now? David Price is the Red Sox who won 9 straight starts. Red Sox, Giants parlay. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.